Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey, what's up, guys? Dr. Tom here, and welcome back to The Positivity Effect, episode number 57, My Rescue Rocks. Today's announcements, I'm launching a store centered around The Positivity Effect on May 1st, so stay tuned. And if you're loving the podcast, please head over to iTunes and leave a review. It means the world to let me know how you're enjoying the show, and it helps spread the word as well. So thank you so much for that. Today, Rebecca Nemethy is back to share with us some tips on what we should consider when adopting a pet. We talk more about her podcast, My Rescue Rocks, and a cool event that she's a part of called The Perfect Exposure Project. I want to thank Rebecca again for coming on and sharing her love of animals because they bring joy to so many people's lives, as well as myself, and it's always inspiring to hear about the work that people do to protect the ones that don't have a voice. You can contact Rebecca on her website at myrescuerocks.net or reach out to her on Twitter at reflectinphotos. So help me welcome her now to The Positivity Effect. Hey, what's up, Rebecca? Welcome back. Day two.
Thanks for having me on again, Tom.
Absolutely. So let's jump right into it. You know, we were kind of at the end yesterday, we were talking about these things that we should be considering when maybe, you know, because maybe it is the right time in our life to adopt. Maybe it's not the right time. So just from your experience and from what you've learned, you know, what are some things that people should be considering if they're going to either buy a pet or adopt a pet? You know, it's time for them. They want to have a pet in their life, but they need to maybe sit down first and consider these things.
Well, I definitely recommend, as I was telling you yesterday, I recently spoke with a woman. Her name is Kim Cavan, and she has a book. I'm not sure if the book will be out by the time this reaches your ears, everyone listening, but it's called The Dog Merchants. And if you go to dogmerchants.com, you can find out more about the book and find out more about what she's doing. But she has a whole chapter in her book about how to ask questions and how to get down to the bottom of things and how to get a dog responsibly. And the biggest thing that she said was, and she's an investigative journalist that went deep into the dog industry on both sides, both the breeding and the rescue side. And the biggest thing that she said to me was that we need to ask open-ended questions, because if you ask a yes or no question, you're just going to get the answer that seems like it's right. So if you ask her example to me was, if you ask, is the dog socialized? The person is probably just going to say yes, because that's the correct answer. But if you say, is the dog, or how did you socialize the dog? That's an open-ended question. And every question you ask should be an open-ended question so that you can get down to the details. Because socialization can mean different things to different people. And it, you know, you may not like the way that the dog was socialized. So you just want to kind of educate yourself on where you're getting your pets from before you get them.
Is there a lot of people out there that are kind of adopting irresponsibly? Like, is this something that's it's really happening a lot?
Well, I didn't think so until I got involved in rescue. And then, like I said, I got involved and I was just an immediate rescue advocate, telling everyone I knew, don't buy a dog. Rescue a dog. Don't buy a dog, rescue a dog. And go to Pet Finder. That's where you can find any breed and, you know, whatever you want. And I have two different friends that have taken my advice and gone to Pet Finder. And I know that one of them was looking for a small dog, which sometimes is harder to find. So there's a lot of larger breed dogs that are available in shelters. And he just had horrible.
Why is that? I noticed that too. Why is it so many more bigger dogs at the shelters?
I can only assume, this is a total assumption on my part, is that some of the dogs that go into shelters are owner surrenders, and they're being surrendered for no fault of their own. Sometimes the owner just didn't know that when they got a dog that it was going to be this much work, that the dog was going to be cost a certain amount, or that it might have accidents or whatever. And not that that has to do with big dogs, but I think it's always a little easier to take care of a smaller dog than it is a bigger one. So maybe that could be influencing it.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting question.
And also what I learned in Kim's book as well is that every time there's a movie that features a certain breed of dog, those sales go crazy because people.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like 101 Dalmatians, Dalmatians were going crazy, the sales of Dalmatians. And then people get the dog not knowing how much is involved. And then they drop the dog off at a shelter. So now you have 101 Dalmatians at your local shelter that, you know, they went out to satisfy the consumer demand. And now people are like, oh, wow, I didn't know what I was in for. So, I'm not sure if I'm getting too far away from your original question, but I don't know why there's larger dogs compared to smaller dogs.
That's an interesting point that you brought up. Like, I didn't even think about that. Like, especially if you have kids, like maybe your child watches a movie and then that's all they want. They want to have that Dalmatian,
yep.
And then you don't do the research to realize that maybe a Dalmatian is a certain kind of breed type of dog, that the kind of work that's, like you said, that's going to go into it, or the training that's going to go into it. And then you're not ready for it.
Yeah. But I was getting to the friend of mine who went to go find that small dog. He found one and he ended up meeting the person. So he found it through Petfinder, right? Like I told him to, and he ended up meeting the person in a parking lot. The dog didn't have vaccination records of any kind. The dog was cowering, shaking, is terrified of everything. He still has her, and he has worked a lot with her to get her to come out of a lot of her fears. But he has no idea what happened to this dog, and he has no idea where she came from. She probably was never seen at a vet before. And the guy that gave him the dog was probably just someone posing as a rescue and wanted to make a few bucks. So... And that happened in another instance, not exactly, but a similar storyline. And so now I'm rethinking to myself, like, oh, I don't want people to just go to Petfinder and find a dog. I want them to make sure they research who they're adopting. So
that's true. Yeah. Where it's coming from, the source.
Mm-hmm. So... yeah, I mean, it's causing me to really rethink the adopt, don't shop mentality. But we still do need people to adopt, you know, because we still have a problem of dogs being dogs and cats being euthanized. And we want to try and end that if we can.
Well, Rebecca, you know, like my heart goes out to because having a pet is such a big part of my life, and you know, it's an honor to have you on the show, because like we were talking about yesterday, I love how you're bridging this gap of using photography and connecting this with helping people raise their awareness about the things that need to be talked about, you know, in shelters and proper adoption and you know, just some of these I hate to use this word atrocity, but some of these things that go on. And we're going to talk, you told me about an event that you're part of, but we're going to talk about that. But before we get into that, I'd love for you to start just to share a little bit about your podcast and how you're reaching people through the podcast.
Sure. Well, I was getting a little bit overwhelmed with all the photography I was doing, because in addition to the volunteer stuff I was doing, which at one point I was doing it every single weekend, I'm also working Monday through Friday doing product photography. So I was getting a little overwhelmed with photography, and I was just trying to think of something else that I can do and use my strengths to share. And what I realized was that I was inspired by someone who told me that she started an organization. Her name is Lisa Prince Fischler. She started an organization called HeartSpeak, and she was a fellow pet photographer. When I met her, I was at a doggy event promoting my pet photography, because that's what I wanted to do. And she said, hey, come and join me. I started this group. It's artists who help animals, and it's mostly photographers, and I want you to join. So I looked it up and I started volunteering. And her kindness and her acceptance. Because I don't know if you know much about the photo industry, but with everything that's going on with digital and making it more accessible to more people, there's a lot of the pros that were there before kind of don't like you to come in on their turf, you know? So
very competitive.
Yeah. And so when I first saw her, I was terrified that she was going to be like, you know, why are you here? You know, this is my area. You know, I don't know what kind of fears I was having, but she was just so kind and I wanted to join her. And, I, you know, volunteering sounded great. I didn't know what that would entail. I didn't know how deep I would get into it, but she was just so kind that I wanted to join her. And so I did. And what I realized was that her act of kindness and all of the stories that I learned after digging into the rescue world really inspired me to take action. So I thought back to my strengths, which I love writing. I'm not necessarily an amazing speaker, but that was something I had to overcome, you know, a fear that I had. And I knew that if I could get people on to tell me stories that they've told me, and be able to share that with the world, that it might inspire somebody else to go volunteer or take action. Or at the very least, you know, I could share stories with other rescuers who would then pass those stories along to people who may be wary about rescue. So I'm basically just trying to share inspiring stories so that maybe, you know, like what you're trying to do with this podcast, and create a ripple effect throughout the animal world and inspire people to do more.
Well, you know, and Rebecca, and that's why, you know, I reached out to you, because it's, for me, you definitely inspired me, because it's not, we always say, like, you don't have to be validated why you do something, but sometimes it's nice. It's like, oh, there's somebody else out there. It's a reminder, you know, that when mm-hmm. I think of the pets that me and my fiance have rescued, it's like, okay, we're doing the right thing. And it just, you know, if I listen to an episode of your podcast, or even just after having this conversation, it makes me feel that much closer to the, you know, the pets that I have. And also, you know, puts a little fire in me to step up and to do more, you know?
Oh, that's awesome. I love hearing that. Thank you.
So the Perfect Exposure Project, we were talking about this. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So I think this started in HeartSpeak last year. It's a workshop that HeartSpeak is doing throughout the country. They are going to public shelters, which are generally high kill shelters, because they're kind of required by law to take in every animal that comes in, and that could be strays or owner surrenders. You know, they can come from various places. And so because they have such a huge number of animals coming in, unfortunately, they also have a huge number of animals that are being put down when they run out of room or run out of time. So what HeartSpeak is doing now is going to these shelters and doing two-day workshops, and they're donating camera equipment and lighting equipment, backdrops, all that stuff. And they're also doing a workshop and teaching the volunteers and staff members how to take better photos of the pets so that they can implement these things in the future and hopefully get more animals out of there before they have to be put down.
And, you know, so and now for you, what's your role with this whole event?
Well, I'll be able to tell you more after next week. I'm actually I've been asked for the first time to join them this coming week, and we're going to Virginia and South Carolina. I hope I'm getting that right.
That's awesome.
I'm really excited. I'm a little bit nervous because I've never been to a city shelter like that before. But I'm excited to be with people who are like-minded, and to be able to bond with them and talk to them about what they think, because many of them have been involved in this even more than I have. So I'm looking forward to learning from them and helping out.
You know, and I like that you got into that, because it's, you know, in any niche, any industry, any area that you're trying to make an impact, you have to connect with like-minded people. And that's, mm-hmm. that's what you're doing through HeartSpeak. So if you were to share, is there someone, you know, specifically, whether they're a real person that you meet, you know, everybody's a real person, but a person you know personally, or maybe a virtual person, you know, a mentor that has helped you kind of stay on track with your goals and how you want to help really help the animal, you know, the animal world, help the rescue niche?
I would have to say it's Lisa, because she started HeartSpeak, which I think is my favorite. I mean, I know that they don't literally take in animals, but it's my favorite organization because they're trying to help animals in a different way. And so I do look up to her in a lot of ways, and she's taught me a lot about not only helping animals, but also kind of learning how to re-educate people without being condescending like I often am, you know. And it's not that I do it on purpose, but like I said yesterday, I think, you know, once you learn something, you can't unlearn it. And when you learn something that really hurts and makes you angry, it's really easy to come off as an angry person, and no one wants to listen to an angry, crazy person. So she's kind of teaching me how to put stuff out into the world in a way in which it helps people and not really kind of makes them want to, you know, change the channel, so to speak.
Yeah, because, you know, you can easily get in your own way when you're trying to do something, or, you know, you need somebody that's been there before that can kind of help guide you and be that city on a hill to say, hey, you know, maybe make a shift this way, or don't deliver the information that way. Because it's really, when you're trying to deliver information publicly, it's important how it's done, and because you want impact in the right way. And sometimes, you know, we hear it in our head a certain way, but it doesn't come out, you know, the way that we hoped it to come out. And that's where it's so important to have a mentor to kind of help guide us through that.
Yeah. And it's funny because I don't talk to her every day or anything, and I don't even know if she knows how much she has impacted me. But I mean, she has, and the times that I have had the chance to work with her and speak with her, and having the opportunity to, you know, for this Perfect Exposure project, I'm an instructor in training. So, I'm sure that I'm going to get a lot from this next week. I'm going to learn a lot and hopefully be able to pay that forward in the future.
That's awesome. And that's, yeah, it is. I love hearing about that, how like you're learning so much from her and she may not even know it. And now you're paying it forward through the training you're going to. And that's that ripple effect. So Rebecca, I always like, you know, we're at the end of today's episode, but I want to give you this opportunity. Because I really, like I tell everybody, I don't take it lightly when you guys come on and spend some of your time with me, because we all have very limited time, you know, to do the things that we have to do throughout the day. So it's always an honor for me to share a story and share your story. So I'd love for you to answer this question, and kind of just sums up everything that we've been talking about. If you were at the end of your life, and suddenly at the end of your life, and you were reflecting on everything that you've done, everything you've been through, everything you've created, what kind of impact would you want to be remembered for?
It's funny because I don't know if most people have done this, and I haven't done it in a really long time, but I think this might be the reason why I am the way I am, is that's not just a what if. That's going to happen. We're all going to get there. We're all going to leave this world. And I think having thought about that as a kid, it kind of always made me want to just do something that I love, do something that's important. And so, you know, if I left today, I really would just hope that I left the world a little bit more beautiful than it was when I got here. You know, whether that's something as simple as, you know, taking a photo of a dog that someone has on their wall, or something as impactful as saving a dog's life, or I don't know, something even in between that, by inspiring someone to go off and make the world a more beautiful place. That's the kind of impact that I want to leave on the world.
Rebecca, that's so beautiful. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I know I've definitely been inspired. It's been great just following you and seeing what you're doing. And I love connecting with other pet lovers, because pets are such a big part of my life too. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing a little bit of your story with my audience.
Oh, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity.
Absolutely. And guys, everything that we mentioned in today's episode with Rebecca, you can go to positivityeffect.com. and just put her name right in the show notes, and everything will pop right up. And Rebecca, what's the best place or the best way if somebody wants to reach out to you, if they have a question, you know, and it's a burning question about, you know, a shelter or a way that they can help or they can give back? How can they reach out to you?
Sure. You can go to myrescuerocks.net and just hit the contact button and get right in touch with me. That goes right to my email. It's a little bit easier than trying to spell my name. in an email. So just go to myrescuerocks.net and hit the contact button.
Awesome, guys. And subscribe to the podcast. And you're just, you know, if you're having a rough day, it's always inspiring. Even though some of the stories are difficult, it's always inspiring to hear a story of us humans stepping up and helping, you know, we think of children that don't have voices. We think of pets that whether it's a human being that doesn't have a voice yet and we have to be there for them, or a pet that they don't have a voice in society. And there's individuals like yourself, Rebecca, stepping up and helping them have a voice. It's really impactful. And I appreciate everything that you're doing.
I feel the same about you. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Rebecca. And I look forward to hearing how everything went with the training.
Oh, thanks. I'll keep you updated.
Awesome. All right. Take care.
Have a good night.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com, sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together, we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.